Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Thank the Lord for the good night we had. There's a lot of people that didn't have a good night and a good day yesterday. We're thankful that the Lord watched over us through the storms and that beautiful sunshine shining this morning. I'm glad to see you in Sunday school. Let's go ahead and get right into it. I want to go over the birthdays that's coming up this week. Lois Musgrove, I thought she may be here this morning, but she's not. She'll have birthday on the 17th. And Kermit Deacons having one on the 19th. And Carol Street having one on the 20th. So all these folks, a lot of you know, maybe some of you don't know them, but anyway, they're having birthdays this week. And before I forget it, I'd like to wish Philip and Patty again for a happy anniversary this past week.
You got fatter.
You got fatter, okay. Always good to have something good to eat, isn't it? All right. This morning, also, we would like to wish our pastor a happy birthday yesterday. And he's had a birthday, plus this is his 50-year anniversary. So if you get a chance, shake his hand, tell him happy birthday for two things. Being here 5 years, and I don't know if he's as happy about it as we are, but we're definitely happy about it. So it is good to have David and Joyce Lawson with us this morning. They've come back down from Illinois and visiting mom, so it's good to see them and glad they've had a safe trip. Also, getting into the sick list of people that we're praying for, Brother Joe Horn is still in the hospital. I think they're supposed to make some decisions about his rehab maybe tomorrow. So y'all pray for Joe. He's been really sick. And also Roger Cox, we're remembering him. Miss Nancy Sparks, she's been sick. We're still praying for Debbie Deacons. She's still having this weakness and everything where she can't get her treatments. Just pray that God will be with her. And then this morning, I was told by Ms. Martin that Pearl Blackburn, who is a lady that lives with her sister Violet, she is in the hospital. She's having problems there, and they're giving her blood and stuff, so remember her. She's a new one to have on the list, so we'll pray for her. And then Miss Brenda Vickers, who just about all of you know, is going to have heart surgery on Tuesday morning, the 18th, and they're going to do a valve replacement on her, so y'all remember her in prayer. Harold Baskett is not feeling well this morning. He's a little unsteady, and so he didn't get out to be with us. But remember Harold. He's still working on recovery. And then we remember all of our shut-ins and all of our cancer patients. I know Leslie Farmer, as she went back down and got some news at Vanderbilt, they're going to do some different treatment on her, so y'all pray for Leslie. And so we also want to remember Lois Musgrove that lost her sister, and they had that funeral the other day. And let's see, this coming week we're going to have the ladies' Bible study on Thursday, March the 20th. At 10 a.m. in the Family Life Center over here, and then 7 p.m. over here in the Ministry House. So if you go to that, or part of that, please remember that date. And then coming up on Saturday morning, the men's prayer meeting at 7 o'clock in the Berean classroom, or a lot of people call it the Blue Room. So that's about the things that I know that we need to bring up this morning. And in the center page on the bulletin, there's a lot of things that you can read there that's going to be coming up in the weeks to come. So please look at that and remember that. Is there anything else that we need to pray about before we go to prayer? Yes, sir. Okay, say the name again. Cadence is. Going to Portugal? Okay.
How long is she going to be gone?
Okay. Okay. So you're going to be doing a lot of traveling. Yeah, okay. Yep, I didn't write that down when you told me, so I strictly didn't get it. Wayne Atcock, Harold's friend, he's had heart problems and stuff, right? Yeah. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay, say the name again. Reimer. Okay, your niece. All right, anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you this morning for the privilege to pray. And God, even though we can thank you for the blessings, Lord, that those storms didn't hit us directly, but Lord, there is mention here of the Reimer family that maybe had a couple of trees down on their house, and we don't know all the details around that, but God, we pray for that family. We pray that you'll be with them and supply their needs, whatever that be, Lord. And God, we just ask you to give them strength and help during this time. I pray, dear God, that as their house has been maybe damaged to the extent that they may not be able to live in it, or Lord, whatever it is, we pray you'll supply those needs. And then Lord, we come this morning praying for Brenda Vickers. She's going to have this heart valve replacement on Tuesday. And Lord, we lift her up to you, God. And as they do this surgery on her, we pray that this will help Brenda. She's been so weak and so tired. And Lord, I pray that during this time also you take care of Harry. And Lord, just bless them beyond anything we could understand. And we thank you for that in advance, Lord. And then, God, we pray for all these other sick that we've talked about, Lord, Joe Horn and Roger Cox, Nancy Sparks and Leslie Farmer, Debbie Deacons and Pearl Blackburn, and the Adcock gentleman, that's Harold's friend. And, Lord, many people have need of you today. There's people in these states that these storms hit that lost their lives, God, and we pray you be with those families also. And Lord, just bless our services today. I pray, dear God, that Brother Philip will bring us a message that you want us to hear, Lord, that I know he's studied and he's prepared, and I pray you help him to get across to us what you would have us to have. And then, Lord, we pray for our pastor as he stands this morning. Lord, there might be somebody here that don't know you as Lord and Savior, and we pray that your Spirit would deal with their hearts. And then, God, just continue to be with us as a church, as a group of people that's following you and seeking to do what your will is. And Father, may you give us strength and help us during these times. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
I assume you're already in James chapter 1. If not, you can turn there. We're in verse number 2. Speeding right along. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. My brethren, this is like to start this whole conversation off by saying, my brethren, is like when my wife says, Phil, can we talk about something? Do you know what that means? That means I haven't been as good as I thought I had been. That has an amazing ability to focus my attention, correct? Phil, she never calls me by my first name unless there's something we need to talk about. It's always honey or sweetheart or babe. Thank you, sweetheart. But if she starts that conversation out, Phil, can we talk about something? I better be paying attention. And that's what he's doing. Amen? My brethren. Because he's got some difficult things to talk about. Amen? What the first thing is how we deal with trials. The next thing is going to be how we deal with or how sin comes about. Chapter 2, their hypocritical Christianity, faith with no works. Chapter 3, a rebuke of their teachers and their tongue. Chapter 4, their spiritual adultery. Chapter 5, a rebuke of the rich. So he's got some very difficult things to talk about them. So he starts off by saying, now, my brethren, isn't that how you talk to your son or your child? You go, I'll use my son's name. Dave, now listen. You're trying to arrest their attention. So let's get into it. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. But when? I want to talk about that today. But when? When you fall into diverse temptation. You wouldn't think that this one small word would be open to interpretation. But I've heard all sorts of things about that one word. I went out and asked my wife, I was thinking about this lesson, and I said, what do you think about when you hear that word, when? What do you think about? What have you heard? What have you been taught about that word? Count it all joy when? I'll bet you it was immediately. But is that the case? I love pocket knives, don't you? Well, you men, about half of you in here do. And I especially like one-handed pocket knives. They make such a wonderful snick both ways, this mechanical marvel. If I was to take this pocket knife and jam it into your leg, now let's put that in this verse real quick. Count it all joy when I stab this into your leg. Does anybody do that? No. When my wife, 3 weeks ago, my wife was getting ready to get herself ready to come to church, and she stood up and fell flat on her face, twisted her ankle. Do you think the first thing she did was count it all joy? Absolutely not. It just doesn't work that way. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, by the way, this is the companion verse to the first 12 verses of James. Because what are we talking about in James? The trial of your faith. And that's what we see in 1 Peter chapter 1. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, he calls it manifold, very many. The other, James calls it what? Diverse temptations. So, many and all sorts. that the trial of your faith, isn't that what we saw here verse number 4? But let patience have her perfect, no, excuse me, verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So what are we, from this verse, in when we're in manifold temptations? Heaviness. It's heavy. Have you ever been under difficulty? It's like carrying a weight, is it not? It's a heavy weight. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. By the way, isn't that exactly what we see in verse 4? But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We'll talk about that in time. So, what is the first thing that happens when we fall into diverse temptations? It's heavy and it hurts. It's difficult. As a matter of fact, if you turn to the end of James chapter 5, it'll tell us exactly what we're supposed to do when we're afflicted. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him count it all joy. Is that what it says? No. Is any among you afflicted? What are we supposed to do? Let him pray. Not rejoice or count it joy. David, in Psalm 119:71, very familiar verse to everybody in here, he said, "It is good that I have been afflicted, that I might know thy word." Now, let me ask you this. Did he say, "It is good that I am being afflicted"? No. No. He's done with the affliction, and now, count it all joy, now he can look back and say, "It was good." My wife and I were talking recently, and we've been through many difficulties, just like you. And some of them were so hard. And we were looking back on all those things, and as we rehearsed them, we ended up with the realization, again, that it was all of those things that worked out the will of God to bring us to, if any one of them had not happened, all those difficulties, if any one of them, and at the time it was like, "Lord, why are we going through this?" But if any one of them had not happened, we would not be where we are today. Isn't that wonderful? Now I can count it all joy because, like David, I can look back on that affliction and see it properly. We'll talk about that in a minute. Now, this is what Job did, by the way. If you would, turn with me to Job chapter 1. We know about Job and his terrible afflictions. They were not only varied, they were many. Amen? Both James chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 1. Diverse and manifold. They just kept piling on. And we see Job, after this first round of affliction, in verse 20, it says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head." Now, do you know what that is expressive of? Deep mourning. Are we going to fault him for that? But what did he do next? And he fell on the ground and worshiped. And he starts doing what? He starts doing what we see in James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Amen? And he said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That sounds like a wonderful prayer, does it not? He began to pray. Folks, our Savior suffered. And what did he do in that garden? It said of him, the Bible says in Isaiah, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. If now for a season ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, very heavy, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. What did he do? He went and prayed. He obeyed this verse. Do you know, it says in Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him over there, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. But now he's sat down at the right hand. So in this trial, it was very heavy. It was grief. It was sorrow. But he was able to look to the future, to the joy that was set before him, and he was able to endure. Amen? But we'll talk about counting in a minute, not today. In a little while. Weeping may endure for a night. Amen. Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night. This gives us an understanding of when. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. When it hits us like a truck, does it not? My wife was on her fourth chemo. She was like death warmed over. It was awful to watch. She had already lost all of her hair, that beautiful hair. It was one of my chief joys. It's all gone. Bald. Do you know, for a woman to lose her hair is almost as bad as getting the diagnosis of cancer. It's traumatic. And there she is sitting on, I can see it like it was yesterday. There she is sitting on that couch, and I'm there beside her, and it's just awful. And then we get a ring at the doorbell. I go down. Two policemen are standing there, and they say, we just wanted you to know that your son just died in an accident on the interstate. Many and varied, as if we weren't going through it enough. Amen. Now, I can guarantee you at that moment, we were not counting it all joy. Amen? It was grief. It was sorrow. It was tears. But let me tell you something. The morning came. Amen? Weeping endured for a night, but joy came in the morning. This gives us a sense. I've had preachers preach. I don't know what influences you've been under. Obviously, my wife and I were under the same influence, because they indicated that you ought to be counting it all joy. Now, why are you in the mully grubs? You ought to be counting it all joy. Isn't that what that verse says? This word has the force of in the event, not immediately. In the event that you are suffering in time, count it all joy. Because what happens if we don't count it all joy eventually? Weeping in the night, joy in the morning. We become bitter. We become angry. We lose faith in God. If we don't eventually turn this into rejoicing and thank God for even this, we'll get bitter, correct? People do all the time. There are people that are not in this church right now and are sitting at home because of something that happened maybe in this church, but because they went through that difficulty, they could not eventually turn it into rejoicing and joy and count it all joy. We'll see that in a minute. They have separated themselves from us and from God, and they are sitting alone outside of the fellowship of God's people. If I say to you, Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Does that mean constantly? If I say to you that I go to work 3 days out of the week, my 2 to 3 hour day job, that's all I want for 3 days a week. I leave my house, I go to John Exum, and I take a right, and I go down John Exum to West Market to go out to Jonesboro. I always do that. Do I do it every day? Do I do it all the time? No. When I say I always go to work that way, what am I saying? I do it consistently. Now, folks, rejoice in the Lord always. That does not mean you don't weep. That does not mean you aren't heavy. That does not mean it's not very difficult. Correct? It just means that you consistently return to the rejoicing in the Lord because, and we'll see this later, you are able to count it all joy eventually. In time, and maybe even through it, but you don't do it immediately. Amen. I challenge any one of you to do it. Bam, you won't. I guarantee it's hard. Now, you wouldn't think that there would be so much confusion about that word, but sometimes preachers speaking evangelistically can say all sorts of things, amen? They're not thinking through what their own experience would be if they thought it through. We ought to count it all joy, but you're probably not going to do it instantly. Now, here's another word. My brethren, count it all joy when ye do what? Fall. Have any of you ever fall? My wife, Patty's fallen just recently. Can you believe that he would put it that way? This is because that's how it seems to us. What is a fall? Let's just talk about it in real terms for a few minutes. It happens how? Suddenly. You're walking along. My wife, she's getting up. She thinks she's going to go and get her hair done. She stands up. Boom! All of a sudden, she's on the floor. Have you ever fallen, by the way? It's like, oh my soul, how did I get down here? What happened? It's like, man, it happens all of a sudden without any planning, without any forethought. You're going about your business, and all of a sudden, you've fallen into all sorts of difficulties. By the way, another thing is you're helpless. There's no way to stop it. If you could grab onto that handrail, you're no longer falling. There's nothing for you to hold on to. Gravity is a wonderful thing, is it not? It is the universal circumstance. It's what keeps everything in place. It makes things stable. But when you fall, gravity takes you and throws you to the ground. You're helpless. And the farther you fall, what? The more it's going to hurt. If you just trip and fall, that's bad enough now at our age, amen? Bust a hip. But if you fall off the roof, which I have, oh my soul. Yeah. And if you're like, they call it the zone of death. If you're a rock climber, I think above 50 feet or something like that, they call it the zone of death. You fall from 50 feet, gravity's going to grab you and really throw you to the ground. It's the universal circumstance. What it seems like to us is that circumstances have us in their power. Does it not? When you get in trouble, does it not seem like I was doing everything I was supposed to do? Everything was going so good, and all of a sudden, how did all this happen? It's like you have fallen, and it hurts so bad. By the way, it does hurt, doesn't it, to fall? Let me bring this illustration back out again. I love my knife. If I was to take this knife very slowly, not jab you, just very slowly, run that into a spot on your body. 99% of your body feels wonderful. Do you appreciate it? No. All you focus on is that. Pain has an amazing ability to focus your attention right there. If you've been in pain, it's amazing how small your world can get. Amen? 99% of your body feels fine, but you are not experiencing any joy at that point. It hurts. But let me say this. That's not what's really happened. Now, we have a wonderful illustration of this in the Old Testament. Would you turn to Psalm 23 real quick for me? You might not have ever put these two passages together, but they have wonderful parallels. Now, you really don't need to turn there because you could quote it, amen? Most every one of us could quote Psalm 23. But let's look at it real quick. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Notice these first three verses. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Aren't these things wonderful? He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, he leadeth me in the valley of... He does not say that, does he? It does not say he leadeth, but we know he does. But that's not how David perceives it. All of a sudden, he's in the valley of the shadow of death. All of these other, and we love it that way too, don't we? Oh, God's working in my heart. Oh, it's so wonderful. He's given me rich, wonderful things out of the Word of God, and he's restoring my soul. I'm just having great revival. And then all of a sudden, we are in the middle of the shadow of death. It's very instructive that he does not say, and he leadeth me. But he did he not? This is Dave's perception of it. All of a sudden, we're in the middle of trouble. What is he saying? I fell into divers temptations, correct? But what does he do? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he reminds himself of something. And this is what we do. This is part of prayer. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. What do we do when we get into trouble? What should we do when we get into trouble? We have to continually remind ourselves that God has not forsaken us. Who hasn't, in their trouble, quoted that verse, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Why do you do that? Because in the middle of trouble, it seems like circumstances have taken you and thrown you to the ground. It's like God has left you. And you have to remind yourself, in the middle of your trials, yes, he's still with me. But what else does he do? Now, this is very instructive. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Why doesn't he say, you are able to help me? It's a play on words. It's trying to help us to know what to do in trouble. What he focuses on is God's ability. That's what a rod and a staff are, correct? I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, thy rod and thy staff, he said, God's rod is to beat the shepherd, to beat the sheep when they get out of line. Can you believe what preachers say sometimes? Folks, what's a rod for? That's when he wades up to the enemy and beats off the wolves, the bears, and the lions. Amen? Thy rod, thy ability. He's focusing on God. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? When we're in the middle of trouble, what do we say? Lord, I know you can help me through this. Please help me. We have to focus on God's ability to help us in trouble. That's all that means. Thy rod and thy staff. The staff, the shepherd's hook, drawing us out of trouble. The rod, beating off our enemies. Amen. We always must take verse 5 and 6 together. Thou, he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare, have you ever wondered about this? Thou preparest a table before me in the midst of mine enemies? Who is the enemy? Again, we must go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. This is trouble. God bringing trouble. The valley of the shadow of death. Hang on now. The mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Again, we're talking about James chapter 1 and verse 4, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you, exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him because he careth for you. In the middle of this, what do we do? He is with me. I'm going to depend on his rod and his staff, his ability. I'm going to cast it all on him. He can do something in this. I can't. These circumstances are beyond me. Correct? What does he say? Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary in the presence of thine enemies. Who is our enemy, folks? The devil. And when does the devil come to devour us? Evidently when we're under the mighty hand of God. Because we're weak, amen? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He prepares a table for me. What is the table that we eat at when the devil's attacking us? And I'm going to hold up my pad, but you're going to hold up your Bible, right? Folks, what do we do when we're under difficulties and the devil's trying to devour us with doubt and bitterness and anger and against God and against whoever did that to us? We get into the Bible, amen, and we begin to feed on it. Oh, and we begin to put it in our mind. All we're doing is feeding ourselves on the Word of God, because if we don't, that enemy is going to eat us up in our trouble, correct? Do you know how you can tell if you've been devoured? What does it mean to be devoured? That means you have become bitter. You have become angry. You have begun to doubt. Folks, that's the devil's kingdom, amen? That's where he wants you. And he just eats people up because they're not feasting on this book in the middle of their trials. Now, when we are in, oh, and I got to stop. We are in the middle of these trials. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So here we are in this valley with these enemies. And what do we do? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Oh, dear God in heaven, I believe that you're still with me. It does not seem like you are. We've been there. We have. There were some circumstances that not just our son dying, not just the cancers, but just things just went all wrong. It was like this. It was like all of a sudden we had fallen into all these troubles, and I began to evaluate them. This was dangerous because the devil is there to guide my thinking. And that eventuality, when I got to thinking about it, I thought, that would not have happened. This calamity, we'll call it a calamity, a diverse temptation, was preceded by three events. If God had stopped any one of those, that would have never happened. And I remember saying to God, God, could you not have stopped that from happening so that I would not have to go through this? It was very difficult. It was what we're seeing in verse 3, the trying of your faith. Do you really believe I'm still in control of your circumstances, even though it does not look like it? And all I was doing was adding up all the circumstances, amen? And I was beginning to fall into doubt. And I had to rest myself real quick and start thinking on what we saw in Psalm 23. By the way, and I'm almost done, what do we see from Psalm 23? At the end there. Are you still there? I've gotten away from it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, the focusing on God's ability, and thy staff, they comfort me. And that's the only comfort sometimes in trouble, is it not? Thou preparest a table before me. I'm going to feed on God's word because the devil is near. But then what does he say? Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When does all of that rejoicing and praise and assurance come? After he's been through all of that and seen God bring him through. Correct? That comes at the end. How wonderful that is. By the way, if you go back to James chapter 1, I said earlier that the context of what we're talking about is from verse 2 to verse 12. Where does verse 12 end up? Sounds so much like Psalm 23, verse whatever that was. We get right down to verse 12 and it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Isn't that what it sounds like at the end of Psalm 23? Rejoicing, my head anointed with oil, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Now he's rejoicing. That's what's the end of this context. A crown of life. Amen. We're going to talk about diverse temptations and counting it all joy. Maybe next week. Thank you for your attention. Let's have the word of prayer and ask God to help us in our trials because they're coming. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray we'll not forget these things. We are not sinners because we sorrow. We are not sinners. We have not failed you because we grieve. We just need you to help us through it all and to keep our minds upon the fact in our grief and in our sorrow that you are with us and that you do have ability to control the circumstances. Help us, we pray. There's not a trouble that doesn't seem like we have fallen and circumstances are overwhelming us. God, help us to do what we're going to see next week, to have divine eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks.